Uncensored.
Justin, how much did the Bucks win by today?
Oh, actually, they ended up losing today.
What? I thought Fitzpatrick was supposed to help them win.
Yeah, well, it appears as if it's more than just the quarterback position as to why the Bucks were losing.
What? Well, I'm done speaking softly. Can we forget about speaking softly and just carry a big stick?
I think we should do just that.
The Bucks. BUCCANEERS. The Bucks.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
Bucks Uncensored.
We're in this pattern that we go out, we get behind, we get killed in the second quarter, then we rally like hell in the third quarter, and then everybody thinks we're back in it, and then we fade off at the end. So that's definitely the pattern we're in. I mean, if I knew one thing to fix it, I'd do it right now, but I don't know what that is.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Let's play. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. But I won't ask now. What, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool now. Get on live, but that ain't my style. What he gonna get and what he gonna do? Run up on me if you want to. Goddamn pressing his homie. Cut up in front of his mama. I'm up the floor with him. And I get in the door and let the floor get him. I got fools that'll go get him. It's a family crew and the crew that got him.
This is Bucks Uncensored. Sunday's result against the Carolina Panthers was just about the worst result every single person within the walls of One Buck Place could have asked for. It was one of the worst results Bucks fans could have asked for. We all wasted all of that energy last week debating Jameis Winston versus Ryan Fitzpatrick. And in the end, the debate meant shit. It meant shit. Jameis Winston does not yet give this team a worse chance of winning than Ryan Fitzpatrick. He gives them a different way of winning than Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're not the same quarterback. But neither Ryan Fitzpatrick nor Jameis Winston are losing this franchise games right now. Okay? You don't throw four touchdowns and two interceptions and lose the game by yourself. Fitzpatrick against the Panthers. Winston against the Falcons. Almost identical statistics. You could argue that Fitzpatrick played worse than Jameis Winston did against the Falcons. You could, because the early interception and a couple of bad passes and three and outs early on, the Panthers capitalized because the Bucs defense is shit. They have no run game. We'll get to that in a moment. But that led to the Panthers having the lead, and this is what Ryan Fitzpatrick has done in his career. I don't blame him, and I urge you and encourage you not to blame him. When you're 35, 36 years old, we have an understanding. We have an idea of the type of quarterback you are. Fitzpatrick is probably one of the streakiest quarterbacks in NFL history. He's either red hot or not. There's not really an in-between. He was not on early. The Panthers jumped out to an early lead. And wouldn't you know, load up those statistics, come back, make it a game, but ultimately you fall apart. Not the quarterback's fault. We need to stop debating that. And I hope that one day we can all be on the same page. And maybe, just maybe, we'll start to get on the same page. Let me ask you this. Why would any Bucs fan not want Jameis Winston to succeed? Why would you not want him to succeed? At 24 years old, if he's not the guy, if you want him out of town so bad, then you're just about hitting the reset button. But what about Fitzpatrick? I mean, I heard somebody at the watch party we had on Sunday. Fitzpatrick, look at the stats. He gives him a better chance to win. First off, he's in his mid-30s. He's not going to get any better. And secondly, statistics? I don't give a fuck what Fitzpatrick's statistics were. Same statistics as Winston's were against the Falcons. I'd rather them both throw for 150 yards. One touchdown, no interceptions. They ran the ball for 150 yards, got two touchdowns on the ground, and won the game. Give a fuck about statistics. Fitzpatrick fits better in this spread type of offense. Jameis Winston's strengths are short, quick throws. 1, 2, 3, get the ball out. Don't sit in the pocket. Wait, long developing routes. It's the same shit. I have all these podcasts archived. Go back and listen to them. It's the same shit we've talked about every single year. And why they have strayed, and this falls on Dirk Cutter, but why they have strayed away from the offense that they were running with Jameis Winston as a rookie when they were running the football, play action pass, any pass that he threw, it was 1, 2, 3, throw, quick decisions, get the ball out of your hand. And you know what? That fits what Jameis Winston does. And he was getting better and better as his rookie season went on, and then they were like, you know what? Screw it. We're throwing that out the window. Now we're going to drop back 5-7-step drops, sit in the pocket, wait, long developing. Fuck. This isn't Winston versus Fitzpatrick. This is so much more. Just what I said last Wednesday is coming to fruition. I'm not saying that because I want to be right. I'm saying that because we should all be very concerned right now. Listen, the debate, if anyone wants to debate you over Fitzpatrick and Winston, or they're trying to make, who cares? Who cares? There's 20 other things more of a detriment to the success of this franchise than, hey, who's better for the Bucs right now, Fitz or Jameis? Discuss. I don't know. How about never, ever, ever fixing the run game? How about not only that, but not even trying to fix the run game? The refusal to properly address the run game in terms of offensive line, scheme, and talent at running back baffles me. Any franchise, and you know what's crazy is that Dirk Koetter has been around the NFL. He has worked with young quarterbacks. And in young quarterbacks that he's worked with in the past, I believe he had Maurice Jones-Drew in Jacksonville. The fucking Falcons traded for Michael Turner, who became one of the best running backs in the NFL. But Dirk Koetter comes to fucking Tampa, and he doesn't need a fucking running back? Does that make sense to anyone? Does it make sense to anyone? Jason Light has been with the Patriots. Okay, that was a long time ago. Patriots, who knows what they do with their running backs. It's very frustrating. Anyone that plays fantasy football understands that. He was with Arizona, David Johnson, there. But any NFL mind, any front office personnel or any coach would tell you that the best help for a young quarterback is to surround him with an offensive line and a run game. Goff has Gurley. Fucking even the Titans, and they can't seem to find it, but the Titans went out and drafted Derrick Henry, who hasn't really been able to take off. They've invested in the offensive line. I mean, you want bad quarterback play. That's what Mariota has given the Titans. Okay? But look across the NFL. Like I said, Matt Ryan, they went out and got Michael Turner. Go down the list. Phillip Rivers, oh, they didn't have a running back. They had Tomlinson. Then they lost Tomlinson. What was the first thing they did? Fucking we're investing in getting in Melvin Gordon. And look at what the Chargers are doing. Panthers get McCaffrey last year. Fucking the Saints get Alvin Kamara. I mean, all of these teams, how can it be that all of these teams, these top teams, I mean, that have these elite running backs, how can they all be so focused on running back and then go on to have success and the Buccaneers draft a quarterback first overall 4 years ago who's now 24 years old? And they never got him a running back. They still have not even, they haven't even finished, they barely have finished half of their offensive line by getting Jensen. And I've been a fan of Donovan Smith in the past, but I to me, the last couple of games, he's given up some sacks. And he's nowhere near as bad as some people say he is. But, you know, I do question, because I have to start questioning this with every player on the roster, is, are these players being put in best position to win? And it starts at quarterback. Is Jameis Winston being put in the best type of offense to be successful? Because if we follow Dirk Koetter's career, it's not just about Maurice Jones-Drew in Jacksonville or Michael Turner in Atlanta. It's or Michael Turner and then Freeman. It's not just about having a run game, but Dirk Koetter's always had a pro-style offense. Run the football, play action pass, screen passes. I mean, we just don't see this bullshit with the Bucs ever. And that's the type of offense that fits Jameis Winston. So, okay, so we're not going to run that type of offense that worked his rookie season. It's become a broken record the last 3 years because they refused to go back to it. But now let's look at the defense. Corners, safeties, linebackers, are they being put in best position to succeed? I continue to see people, I got friends at work, I got people on social media, Derwin James, he's being ranked, he could be defensive rookie of the year. Derwin James, Bucks should have drafted him, right? Right? I love Derwin James. Who didn't love the guy coming out, right? Leader, hard-hitting safety. But like I said before this year's draft, it wasn't about whether or not you thought the Bucks should draft Derwin James. And I always try to tell people this. There's a difference when you're talking about the draft coming up. There's one thing to say who you like. There's another to say who they're going to take. And yeah, I mean, Derwin James was the talk and mentioned a lot of times in the mock drafts. So, Bucks just drafted Justin Evans last year. Well, what does that mean? That you need two safeties. Yeah, but to draft a safety in the second round and then come back and draft another safety in the first round, that's a high draft pick capital in two safeties. Okay, so again, your argument, I'm guessing, is that, well, if you why not just take him and get talented football players? That's true. That's definitely true. Now, I have a couple of questions. First off, if the Bucks would have done the smart thing, if they would have done the right thing, if they would have drafted a running back in last year's draft, a draft that consisted of McCaffrey and Kamara, Hunt and Carson, and the list goes on and on, right? I think Mac was in that draft. I think you go back to last year's draft, and all those running backs were taken, and the Bucks got McNichols. If the Bucks take a running back in the second round, they likely take Derwin James in the first round this year. Especially if they do what they were supposed to do a couple of years ago in a draft loaded at defensive tackle, draft a defensive tackle in a draft that's stocked with that position. You get your defensive tackle then, you get your running back last year, and guess what? Now that just freed you up. You didn't have to draft Vea and Ronald Jones. You could have gotten Derwin James and another position at the top of the second round. I mean, it's not... Okay. So that's Jason Light's fault. That's how the dominoes affect the draft and affect free agency. Hell, that can go all the way back to when the Bucks decided to take Cadillac Williams over Aaron Rodgers. Because they're ride and die with Chris Sims. You take Aaron Rodgers, and if the season doesn't play out the way you hope it would, and you end up with a similar draft pick, top 10 the next year, you probably draft Adrian Peterson. But because you took Cadillac Williams the year before, you're not going to take two running backs back-to-back in the top 10 of a draft. Not going to happen. So instead of getting potentially Aaron Rodgers and Adrian Peterson, I know hindsight's 20/20, but the Bucks needed a quarterback, and if they would have drafted a quarterback, then they would have probably had a need for running back the next year. Yow. So instead of that potential combination, they ended up getting Cadillac Williams and Gaines Adams. That's how the draft works. Domino effect. I mean, it's easy to say best player available, but it's never that simple. It's never that simple. But now I have to ask the question. If the Bucks draft Derwin James, are you confident that Derwin James is Defensive Rookie of the Year? Are you confident that Derwin James is doing for the Bucks what he's doing for the Chargers? I'm not. And it's not just about him. It's any player. Because I now believe that there isn't one player on the Bucks roster, maybe other than Jaquizz Rodgers, because he wouldn't have a role anywhere else, of players being put in best position to succeed on this team. It starts at quarterback. I question if Derwin James was brought to the Bucks roster, they wouldn't have blitzed him. They wouldn't used him in run support. They would have probably dropped him back into coverage, which is probably his greatest weakness. His strength is coming up, laying big hits, flying around, getting to the football. they would have probably just backed him into coverage, played some zone bullshit. He'd have gotten beat for a couple of touchdowns. Bucks fans would have called him a bust, and we'd have been right back into the same fucking cycle that we always are. Rinse, wash, repeat. Rinse, wash, repeat. Blah, 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 blah. And along those same lines, how in the fuck do we know that Vita Vea isn't being put in best position to succeed? Sorry, but that's going to be my question now. I don't even want to hear a debate over the quarterback anymore. And there are different ways you can look at it. The Bucks are 3-5, which they're done, okay? They're done unless Fitzmagic turns into Fitzmiracle, which we don't anticipate happening. And I'm not going to sit here and just debate the quarterback thing every fucking week, because here are the real issues for this team. Refusal to properly address the run game. No chemistry on defense. The players on defense, they don't know what they're doing. They're overthinking, and any coach that I had little league growing up said the whole point of practice is so that when it comes to the game, you don't have to think, you just react. It is clear as day to me, and I hope to every single one of you that watches these games, these defenders are thinking. They don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. Okay, Duffner's not the long-term answer. Mike Smith wasn't the long-term answer. Dirk Cutter is dead man walking. Quite frankly, Jason Light's probably on the way out too. All right? I've had two people over the last week say Jason Light should be catching as much blame as Dirk Cutter. The problem is Jason Light is a super nice guy. People like him, and they don't want to talk bad about him. Here's the thing with Jason Light. I do think that he can identify talent. I do think that he has brought in talent. This roster currently is a much more talented roster than the roster he took over from Mark Dominic. With that said, Jason Light, in, God, is this his sixth season? Was it two under Lovey and now, or maybe fifth season? Three under Dirk? Well, in five or six years, Jason Light has acquired talent, but has never built a team. And shame on Dirk Cutter and Jason Light for allowing their locker room to unravel right before their eyes. And if you two don't realize it, walk down there. Walk down to your locker room. And if you don't think your locker room is split in two, you're living in some fantasy world. I don't know which it was. Jason, Dirk, both. One of you or both of you wanted DeSean Jackson. And he started tearing the locker room apart last year. Don't believe me? Go ask some of those players in that locker room. He started tearing it apart. If you're the Redskins, and DeSean Jackson is such a great receiver, you let him just walk in free agency. They just let him walk. They drafted Josh Doctson, who stinks, in the first round to replace DeSean Jackson. You don't do that if he's a great player. Oh, he's still so fast. Oh, even though he's a little older, he's still so fast. Maybe, just maybe, he causes problems. It was such a fragile locker room. Remember? I mean, another thing we've been talking about for years, just so fragile. So gullible. The young minds in that locker room can be warped if you put just one wrong guy in there. I think TJ Ward was one of those guys last year. And I think DeSean Jackson's one of them guys last year and now this year. Sad. Sad. But you know what? When things like that happen, it's not DeSean Jackson. It's not the players in the locker room. It's the people responsible for the players in the locker room. Dirk Cutter's schemes, game plans, and ability to put players in position to succeed has failed the team this year. And his pattern, 3-5, 2-6, 3-5, those are his records in the first half of the season, in his first three seasons as head coach. You are eliminated from the playoffs before you get to the fucking halfway point. At the halfway point in his first three seasons as head coach, you could make the argument that the Buccaneers had no shot at making the playoffs. They needed a miraculous five-game win streak his first season to even sniff the conversation. This is not going to be a difficult decision for the Glazers. It's going to happen. Is it going to be one of them or both of them? Change is going to happen. You can't start every season you get as a head coach as 3-5, 2-6, 3-5, and then make a little bit of a run in the second half to not make it look as ugly as it is. It's ugly. It is very ugly. There's no chemistry on defense. There's no accountability. There's no leadership. And another thing that I have said for 10 years at least, this is to Brian and Joel and Ed and Darlene and whatever other Glazer you want me to mention. Do yourselves a favor. For once, you have wasted so much money on coaches and general managers and the wrong players that those wrong coaches and wrong general managers have brought in. Think of the millions and millions and millions of dollars that you have flushed down the toilet. Why? Because I do believe you care. I do believe the Glazers care. I do believe the Glazers want to win. I don't believe the Glazers know who to hire to get that done. Please, please, please. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have all the answers. I don't. I will give my opinion, but trust me, most of my opinions probably can be, people can go back in the archives and point out the multitude of times I've been wrong. And I'm not even going to give you a bunch of names for this, but do me a favor, do yourselves a favor. Hire yourself a president. Hire somebody. It's not a reflection on you as an owner. If anything, it could reflect on you in a positive way that you truly wanted to get things right, that you turn things over to somebody that you trust who has a lot of experience in different successful NFL franchises, that you are willing to turn over decision-making capability to that person, as long as that person loops you in on those big decisions. Having that kind of presence could provide huge results for you. And I don't have the statistics of what franchises have presidents and what don't, but I do know this. You have tried Mark Dominic and Raheem Morris, Mark Dominic and Greg Schiano, Lovie Smith and Jason Light and Dirk Cutter. Four different combinations. All four have been epic failures. Young general managers who have never been general managers before. And three out of four head coaches who have never been head coaches in the NFL before. I don't care about that in experience with those positions, because sometimes you got to take shots, okay? Sean McVay was an offensive coordinator who had never been an NFL head coach before. Everyone's got to start somewhere. But maybe instead of you trying to guess who that up-and-coming coordinator or up-and-coming general manager might be. Maybe loop in somebody who's got a ton of NFL experience to properly help you determine that next head coach, that next general manager. But along the same lines, what is their plan? What is their plan offensively, scheme-wise? What is their plan defensively, scheme-wise? What is their plan in building a complete roster? What is their plan week in and week out when it comes to game plans? Are we going to run the ball on offense and be aggressive on defense? Are we blitzing on defense and we're going to throw it some on offense? Are we looking for balance attack? Are we looking for play action and quick passes? Are we looking for down the field passes? You know, there are different options out there. But to think that Brian and Joel and Ed and Darlene and the Glazer family is, it's no offense to them. They have been around the NFL for a while. But some people get it and some people don't. I mean, the Glazer family, you all have had your swings and we seem to be missing on every single one. So pick up the phone. Call Tony Dungy. See if he would be interested in coming back. I think it would just go so far with your fan base. And I believe it was time to move on from Tony Dungy myself. But thinking to Tony Dungy still being around the NFL, being a part of the broadcast, has connections everywhere. And you can replace Tony Dungy's name with another name. But think of somebody who has worked for multiple franchises, somebody who's still connected to the NFL, somebody who has a good, pipeline of offensive and defensive coaches. And if you don't think Tony Dungy has offensive coaches that he can go to, he does. He does. And it doesn't have to be people that he personally has relationships with. But having somebody of Tony Dungy's caliber or, I don't know, off the top of my head, like Bill Polian, Tony Dungy, Bruce Arians, older guys who have been around for a while. They can walk into a locker room and there's a different feeling when they walk into a room as opposed to when a guy who's never been an NFL head coach or never been an NFL GM or never been that. You walk in with that ring on your finger, it goes a long, long way. Tony Dungy lives in the area. I'd give him a call. I'd see what it would take. No, he doesn't want to be a coach. But if he could come in and make an impact for this team, for this area, for the city's fans, and make a positive impact on and off the field. Again, doesn't have to be Tony Dungy, but for the love of God, do yourselves a favor, do us a favor, and fix this shit. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. The stick carriers, as they are, transitioning, changing, evolving into something else. We wanted to live by the phrase a Dirt Cutter said his first season as head coach. The reason it hit home for me and for so many listening to this very podcast right now is because we needed something to believe in, and we believe in that phrase of speaking softly, not being arrogant, not being above and not being overblown, not talking all this trash and everything, but just going out and getting the job done. This is a blue-collar town with a blue-collar mentality. So when you have your coach at the end of a five-game win streak say to speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick, Well, damn it. It got me. It hit me home. Right in my heart. Right in my head. I needed it. You needed it. But I'm going to tell you this right now. The days of speaking softly are officially done. I want each and every one of you to let your voice be heard. Let it be heard on this podcast. Let it be heard on other podcasts. Let it be heard in the media. Let it be heard at the games. Damn it, you deserve to have your voice heard. Not in regards to the quarterback. That is such a minor issue to the bigger picture. We deserve a winner. And if they're not going to produce one for us, we are not going to stay quiet about it anymore. Bust out those big motherfucking sticks, light them on fire, and let's turn into this Bucks mob that they want us to be. Bucks mob, where we don't speak softly. We will never speak softly, but we will always light them up and carry our big motherfucking sticks. We will unite. We will unite together with one goal and one focus in mind, and that is for our franchise to win. Might not happen this year, but you know what? Until it does happen, we will be loud and we will remind them that that is what we want, that is what we need, and that is what they must provide us on the field. We are not going to follow blindly anymore. Bucks takes are coming up next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored. Get some Bucks takes in. People fired up. Actually, not as much anger as I thought. It's just kind of like settling in. Like, this is our reality. Welcome to our hell. That moment, thanks to everyone that came out to the Cigar City Brewing Bucks Uncensored Watch Party. Packed house, Buffalo Wild Wings and Brandon. It was awesome. Great to see everyone, even though not sure that we've had a winning watch party yet. Now, you can blame the watch party all you want, but then again, the Bucks really haven't won much on the road. So, anyway, it was awesome. Everyone drinking that Cigar City High Li. As the Bucks keep losing, listen, High Li is the way to go. It's going to make you forget about these awful Buccaneer losses. So make sure you take advantage of that. The Invasion, they've got Cigar City beer really at every local establishment and gas station. If they don't have Cigar City, just tell your bartender, tell the manager, tell them, hey, you got to give them a call. You got to get that in here and they'll get it done for you. I was in Orlando this past weekend. We went over for Halloween Horror Nights and we were staying at one of the hotels there by Universal. Went down to the lobby, went down to the little market, and they had Cigar City High Li right there in the little market. So obviously if I can find it over in Orlando near Universal, you can find it anywhere in the Tampa Bay area. Cigar City Brewing and Cigar City High Li, my specific favorite, Listen, it's from Tampa. It's a Tampa native. It's not a lot. Listen, there are not a lot of people born and raised in Tampa. How about a beer? Born and raised right here in Tampa as well, Cigar City, which you should be drinking. What I drink. All right, Bucks takes. We got a lot of them. Want to get to them. And when the Bucks lose, I usually check my phone. I'm either getting a text message or I'm getting a phone call from this guy.
Commish, Harold from Atlanta. I've gone back and forth, sending in a voice memo after today's debauchery. God damn, where do you go? First off, I don't give a fuck who's at quarterback. It could be Jameis, it could be Sheamus, it could be Fitz, it could be Dan Marino. If you have no running game, no right guard, no aggressive offensive line play, you're going to have issues, plain and simple. It doesn't matter. Dirk has lost his team. It is time to clean house, as much as that pains me. Everybody made fun of the bunch of us that were calling for Chucky last year. I don't know so much that if it was we were calling for Chucky, we were calling for a change. And obviously, the change that we were calling for last year is rearing its ugly head this year. Once again, 7-step drops, no running game, and you wonder why the quarterback's under duress and throwing picks. Because the motherfucker doesn't want to get hit every goddamn play. That's why. People talk about our ownership. The Glazers need to sell. The fucking Glazers spend money like nobody's business. They've hired coaches. They've fired coaches. They spend in free agency. They've been frugal in free agency. But however, recent trends show they spend money. There is no excuses with the owners. They don't meddle. They're not Jerry Jones. They let the leadership of the team do as such, and it's failed. Jason Light's failed. We have no running back. No running back of any of his salt. We have horrible offensive line play. We have no DB depth. It's bad. It's bad. Blow the motherfucker up. And oh, by the way, let your new coach decide what he's going to do with Jameis before we all of a sudden just throw him aside. Fitz didn't look too fucking good today. That's all I'm going to say. Peace out. Oh, by the way, we can't carry a big motherfucking stick no more because the big motherfucking stick doesn't exist. We don't speak quietly no more because we have a voice and we are now a mob. Speak your voice, speak your piece, and let the fucking Bucks know what you think. Fuck this shit.
Well, I see that, Harold, you and I are on the same page, but listen, we do have big motherfucking sticks. We just have to light one end of them. That would complete the whole mob mentality. But what better way to bring us all together? That has been something I've been striving for a while. Let's just all come together and demand more. We demand and deserve more as a fan base. And we have two options. Well, we have three options. We continue to go do what we've been doing. Let them continue to fuck us in the ass year after year. We stop going to games. We stop paying attention to the team we love. We don't watch on TV anymore. That doesn't sound like fun. This is entertainment. Or we finally rise up together and demand more. Demand change for the better. Stop trying and start doing. Thanks, Harold. A lot of people passionate. Travis is up with us. Hello, Travis.
Fellow stick carriers, I am sick and tired of getting myself up and ready to carry a big motherfucking stick for this team. When it seems these guys, coaches, GM, players, they don't even know what that even fucking means. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. I've tried to be optimistic, and I'm tired. I'm done with optimism. I want to be optimistic. I want to be a realist too. And what I see week in and week out, and I want to have faith in everybody. Jameis, Fitz, the defense, the coaches, everybody. I want to have faith in these guys. I want to believe that these guys can go out and win the day. Win the fucking game. I'm tired. Like Jameis says at the beginning of this podcast, I'm tired of low expectations. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of losing. I know what this team could be about. Unfortunately, I'm not sure anymore if anybody believes in anything. That's it.
I mean, I believe in a lot of things, but when it comes to this Buccaneer team, the only thing I believe is that change, lots of it, is going to be made. And going to be made pretty much as soon as the season's over. So, hey, it'll make for a very busy and exhilarating offseason. That's for damn sure. Let's go to Clearwater, the dulcet tones of my man, David in Clearwater. I know he has got to be frustrated, right, David?
What's going on, Justin? It's David from Clearwater. I really thought this was going to be a year where we would stop playing soft-ass Buccaneer football. But, I mean, it's if you can't run the football, which the organization has failed to get us a running back, Peyton Barber runs hard, blah, blah, blah. This guy is a 2.7, 2.8 yards, a carry running back, which is a backup running back, essentially. Would he start on any other team? Probably not. His backup, Jacquizz Rodgers, is a backup running back. Is actually a third-string running back, or not even on. He's a roster bubble running back, and he's our backup. Ronald Jones, I mean, the jury's still out for him, but he's just not the running back, three-down back that you need to support a quarterback in one of the top offenses in the league. He's a guy that you draft as a luxury back that can come in and be a change of pace. Is he ever going to be the 20 carry back? Probably not. So it's another second-round wasted draft pick. We draft two second-round corners with 4-5 speed. It's nothing up front on the offensive line. We invested in a center. We threw money to Ali Marpet. We're still shit on the offensive tackle and guard position. Defense, besides JPP, I mean, McCoy is going to get his garbage sacks. I don't know, man. It's the same old bullshit, man, every fucking year. And it's just tiring, man. It's more disappointing. I'm not even getting upset anymore because it's like you're conditioned to be out of the playoff race in November every single year. You know what I mean? And it sucks, man. It sucks to have to watch this bullshit. It sucks to have to sit here and go on a coaching hunt in November because Dirk Cutter is not going to take this team to a championship contender. No fucking way. So now we have to wait for a new coaching regime to bring in their own players and all this bullshit. So we're now 4 or 5 years behind from being relevant. It's a Bucks life. Fuck a speak softly. Every fan needs to scream, we need a goddamn contender in this town, man. Tired of this bullshit. Holla at your boy. Ooh.
I don't know who was saying more things that were getting me jacked up. David with his language or the baby there with the kind of sound a little like Donald Duck. And we all know how mad Donald Duck gets. Could you imagine if Donald Duck was a Bucks fan? Holy shit. Casey, Buckbeard. What up, Casey?
Hey, Kamish, fellow sick carriers. After that pitiful game, you know, it's so depressing to watch Bucks games now. You know, it's the same old story. You get down a bunch, and you come back within one score. But then the defense can't stop them. Same old thing. So, for this game, I didn't even get excited when I saw the Bucks score. It's just, I'm tired of it. And, you know, the Bucks tried to fix some things, you know, fired Mike Smith. Yeah, well, too little, too late. You know, even on in the offseason when Jason Light supposedly revamped the defense. Well, you know, he didn't really touch the secondary until it came to the draft. I don't know. I just, too little, too late. You know, get rid of Light, get rid of Cutter. And I don't know who to bring in, but bring someone in who can salvage this, the talent we have on offense at least. I don't know who would be the quarterback, but I'm just glad there's a Lightning game tonight so I can have my antidepressant before I go to bed tonight. Speak softly and carry a big stick because you know the Bucks defense isn't going to. And go Bolts.
Go Bolts. That's right, Buck Beard. Going to be Bolts Beard soon. Color that thing blue, you know what I'm saying? Down to Naples we go. Jeremy is there. Hello, Jeremy.
Justin, fellow stick carriers, Jeremy from Naples here sending in a Bucks take. Fuck. Is this the most frustrating Bucks team ever? First, they got the whole Winston Fitzpatrick debacle outlying the season, but there's bigger issues here. This defense is soft, plays with no heart. The first half of this game today, the game was over. The Panthers are running reverses all over the field, ripping off consecutive 20, 25-yard plays. Dirk Cutter makes maybe one of the most boneheaded fucking decisions to run a fake punt from your own 25. That's just like giving up 7 points. I'll never understand that. Gets a little bit better in the second half. I don't know, the coaches screamed at him or something. Then it gets down to money time and their tissue soft and trash. Then the very end of the game, they jump off sides 2 plays in a row to ice the game again. Eventually, a team takes the mentality of their coach. Dirk Cutter's not the answer. I really like the guy. Wanted him to do well, but he's got to go. And now I'm starting to wonder, too, if maybe Light's got to go, too. Fuck. It's a Bucks life. Man, this team is disappointing. Thanks.
You know, I just remembered I had teased earlier. I was talking about changes and Cutter. I think coming up on, because I've had some people already tell me like, hey, if the season's over, let's go with Jameis, see what he's got. Let me think about that for a couple of days. And that might be a topic on Wednesday's podcast. So if you want to talk about that in a polite way, you're more than welcome to. Not whether or not it's Jameis versus Fitzpatrick, but Jameis is 24. 3-5 on the season. Bucks aren't making the postseason. Does it make sense to play Jameis Winston the rest of this year? I'll give you my answer on Wednesday. It's not going to be the only thing we talk about. So obviously everything's still on the table. You can always submit your Bucks takes to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. You can record them right there on your phone and just shoot them over email style to yours truly. We'll get to you on Bucks Uncensored, just like, you know, this one.
Oh, hey, kiddos. Did you have fun today? Did you get all your full exercise? You know, 60 minutes is very important for your health. So you need to go out there, just run, have fun, participate, slap the opponents in the ass, smile, and just go back home and cuddle with your teddy bear and tell him about all the fun you had on Sunday and just go to sleep and dream about candies and days at the beach, because that's what's most important. Winning or losing, no, that's all for the fans to debate online and let them suffer and just feel numb about it. You guys, it's all about having fun.
Hey, Justin, it's me, Javier in Panama City, Panama. We're 3-5. Stop me if you heard this before, but we were 2-6 a year ago and 3-5 the year before that. So it's nothing new for us. At this point, I'm all for cleaning house. We need to do that because let's see what we have with the players, okay? We got a mess at quarterback. We got half an O-line. We got weapons at the wide receivers and tight end positions. We don't have a running back, and we absolutely don't have a defense. Oh, and in special teams, we don't have a kicker, and our punter has been regressing year by year. So we got impact players, but we don't have a team. And at this point, the general manager has a worse winning percentage than the previous general manager, who lasted the same amount of times, and no head coach since Gruden has had 4 years. So at this point, blow it up and let's start again, because as always, it is a Bucks life.
What? We're bringing it back. We're bringing Bucks life back. Justin Timberlake brought back sexy. Mm-mm. We're bringing Bucks life back. I don't think it ever went anywhere. Call me crazy. Call me maybe. Eric is always so good in keeping his Bucks takes under 90 seconds. He couldn't even do it for this episode.
Justin Stick here. This is Eric out in San Diego calling with my Bucks take. I don't know what to say. I'm blown away. I am blown away. It's been a while since I've called in because I wasn't sure what to think. You saw so many inconsistencies on this team that I wasn't sure even where to go with it. But that's where I'm going to go. The inconsistencies. It's unbelievable. I've never seen a team so ill-prepared in my fucking life. It's painful. It's an atrocity to have an NFL team go 35 points and a half. That's unbelievable. That's an ill-prepared team. That's 100% on coaching. Now, to everybody else's point of it being the players, I think there is talent on this team. Is Donovan Smith the answer? Fucking clearly not. That has to be done. Benenock's fucking trash. I thought that since preseason, but you know what do I know? Defensively, I think we have some players in place. Do we need some more players? Yeah. Jerry McCoy's, his time has come. His time has come. Everyone has to admit that. The time has come. It's over. For $13 million, getting 1.5 sacks. Oh, but he's injured. Nope. Time has come. But the rest of, with Jason Light, and I like the picks that he's had for the most part, but it's now become reactionary instead of forward thinking. And I think that's become a really big issue. You're looking at way too many times. It's not forward thinking. It's not looking at, okay, let's project in the future in the next 2 years. Okay, we should be replacing this guy because he's going to cost us $15 million, stuff like that. It's, oh, fuck, we can't cover anybody, and the players that Mike Smith wants are terrible. So, you know what? This year, I'm fucking drafting press corners for sure. But wait, Mike Smith doesn't know how to use press corners. Well, I'm going to force it on him. Hey, Carlton Davis is good. MJ Stewart probably needs to move to fucking safety. And Vernon Hargreaves comes back. You know, maybe he could be number two in the slot. I don't know. But I like the players that we've drafted, even Vita Vey. I like him. Has he been anything incredible? No. But I like the picks that we've done. It's just, it's reactionary. It's not forward thinking. You brought up the Andrew Billings a couple weeks ago, and that's 100% correct. Like, that was the time to draft a fucking defense tackle. 2 years ago, instead of drafting Kendall Beckwith, a strong side linebacker playing 30% of the snaps, and then now was injured then and now injured again, you could draft Marlon Mack, who's now in his second year tearing up the NFL. But I'll keep rooting on the team. But it's what we thought last year towards mid-November is looking like it's about to happen this year, and it sucks. It fucking really sucks. But hey, at least the NFL draft's coming up in April, so go Bucks.
By the way, a good example of why I try to stay off social media during Bucks games for the most part, I do. But Carlton Davis made an awesome play. Amazing play. Fourth down. Stopped him short, got in the guy's face, got a penalty. By the way, dead ball penalty, so the Bucks still kept the ball. But then, of course, I don't even know why. I went on social media, and it's like, bench this guy, cut him, he's a bust, this and that. God. Just, I hope that you weren't one of those Carlton Davis has been damn good. He is a corner. I think he's going to end up being a cornerstone piece for this defense for a long time. That kind of size, can play man coverage. I mean, he can be, he's got the potential to be the shutdown corner the Bucs need. And I don't know about you, I'd love to see a little more swagger out of my defense. I think I even turned to the people I was sitting with watching the game. And I was like, that's a good penalty to me. It's a good penalty. Of course, I knew the rules right away, and I knew it was a dead ball foul. Like, who cares? But then everyone's like, oh, they're going to get a first down. No, no, no. He's fired up. He got in the guy's face. Love that. We haven't seen that out of a Buccaneer defender in years. It wasn't him being nasty. It was him finally stepping up. You know, when you talk about the top corners over the last few years, the Richard Shermans, the, Xavier Rhodes has talked some. You know, you go down the list, and they're just like, they are, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, they're not only talking in the locker room, but they're talking about their opponents. And I think you have to have that type of ego if you are a shutdown corner. And Carlton Davis might have it. The Bucs need swagger on defense, and I had no problem with him showing that on Sunday. If you did, then so be it. But there were way more things to be upset about than what Carlton Davis did after a great play. So I just wanted to point that out. All right, we're back on Wednesday with another Bucs Uncensored. Thanks to our sponsors for making all this happen. Buffalo Wild Wings, what a tremendous host they were on Sunday. We are at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Pinellas Park coming up for the Bucs and Giants game in just a few weeks. So stay tuned for that. It'll be our last away game watch party for the year where the mob can get together. Ooh, be like a mob-like mentality there. Whoa. Or a mob atmosphere. Oh, who knows? But it'll be good. Thank you to Master Subaru. Those guys, I can't imagine how frustrated they are. But, you know, life goes on. They're going to continue to do a great job with their dealerships right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue and over in Orlando. And they are giving you a discount just for being a Bucs fan. I'm going to say a stick carrier, but man, we're not speaking softly anymore. I need you to go to Mastro Subaru. I need you to be loud and tell those guys, listen, I want to buy a car. And I'm a Bucs fan. They're going to give you a discount just for doing it. All right, so go see them. Mastro Subaru, thanks to Cigar City Brewing. They've got all their different local, Tampa Cigar City beers. My favorite is the High Lie, but they have the Invasion and the Florida Cracker and so many others. Make sure you check out their website, CigarCityBeer.com, and you can get Cigar City beer anywhere in the Bay Area. And, you know, make sure you take advantage of it because anyone that's seen me out knows the first thing I go for is a High Lie. And once you do the same, you'll be hooked just like I am because I am hooked on Tampa. And Cigar City is Tampa through and through. Thanks to Christian at Headlines Barbershop. He always makes me look good. B4, it's what you drink before you drink. And honestly, B4 is probably what you should be drinking 30 minutes prior to every single Bucs game to avoid that hangover that immediately follows every single Bucs game. Drinkb4.com to get your supply. And thanks to each and every one of you. This is a very sensitive time. We are all upset. We're all angry, disappointed, sad, concerned, all those emotions in one. Don't take it out on each other. Rise up together, unite together, and tell this organization we deserve better. You deserve better. We will not speak softly. We will not just carry a big motherfucking stick. We're lighting our big motherfucking sticks, and we are going to explain to this organization that we finally want, need, deserve more. Do it, or there might be consequences. This is Bucks Uncensored, back on Wednesday. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.